Hello, friends. This is Big Kenny of Big and Rich, and you're listening to the Monday Nooner Podcast.
Houseman skates it in. Houseman across the line. Over to Bernhardt. Bernhardt, one-timer, scores. Let the teddy bears fly. There's your teddy bear goal.
Hey, everyone. This is Jamie Heward, former Team Black captain, and you're listening to the Monday Nooner Podcast. Suck it, silly.
Across to Kip Simon. Simon to Mike Reach. And Mike Reach, another slap shot. That's his 30th of the afternoon.
Hello, this is Wick. I played 800 pro games. I'm a big fan of the Monday Nooner Podcast.
Now head on over to peaceloveandhappyhour.com and get yourself some peanuts and tune into this bad boy. Love you big time.
Why wouldn't a guy?
Well, hello and a big welcome to all the degenerates and pigeons we've got tuned in here. This is twirl number one of the Monday Nooner Podcast, brought to you by, well, we're still looking for our sponsor here for the Monday Nooner Podcast. We're coming to you live from dressing room number two in the bowels of the Brandt Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. Before we talk a little bit about the podcast, I want to introduce you to my co-hosts. We'll start off by introducing the only guy I know I'd almost gotten a scrap on the number 13 tee at the Royal Regina last summer. Please welcome to the Monday Nooner Podcast, Kinner.
Boz, what's up, buddy?
Our second co-host, I like to call him the Swiss Army Knife of the podcast. Not only is he a key part of Team Black in their back-to-back championships in the Monday Nooner Hockey League, he's also our team's GM. He's the number one advocate and fan of the Monday Nooner Hockey League and the official play-by-play voice of the Monday Nooner Hockey League. Shink, welcome to the podcast.
Very, very well done. Before we get started here, obviously we'd like to begin by acknowledging that this podcast is on the traditional lands of the original lands of the Cree, Ojibwe, Soto, Dakota, Nakota, Lakota, and the homeland of the Métis Nation. And a big shout out to all the chiefs and councils right now working hard to keep COVID at bay, because I got a few buddies out there that are chiefs and on councils, and it's been a tough battle for everybody, especially them. So to the boys, good job out there. So a lot of people ask, you know, what is the Monday Nooner? And we have this Twitter account, and it's at Monday Nooner at Twitter. And the fellas do a fantastic job of doing the Twitter account. I'm not really involved in it, but some people think it's like a boys club or like...
Well, it is.
Well, yeah, I guess it is. And like the Elks or, you know, the Kinsmen or something like that. And people don't really know that we actually play hockey every day, Monday at noon. And, you know, Kinner, you've been an integral part in getting Monday Nooner back up and running, because old Monday Nooner, you know, we got to give a shout out here to like the Todd Ripplingers and the Cliff Mapes and the old Monday Nooner, but that was like, Div 2, Div 3 to what we're doing now. So Kinner, when you go back and you think about me bugging you every week about how we needed to start this, you and Joel Pickering, how we needed to start this Monday Nooner again, you know, take us back to how it started and your part in getting it all rolling.
Pix and I had many conversations about this Monday Nooner and the sponsor skate. I asked Pix, I said, how come it's like, what's this all about? I said, Shink won't get off my nuts with it. Like, what's happening here? Like, what's going on? I said, I need this guy to stop texting me every week. He goes, well, it just came down to people not wanting to organize it. So worked with Hoff and Strusha and the fellas and secured some ice time. And the only reason the Twitter account started is we wanted to chirp you.
Yeah, well, hey, that's all right. And I
think it was actually a tweet when he was away at Christmas. Team Black got a big win, not a big deal. And you tweeted, no Shink, no problem. Team Black rolls on.
Just straight ignorant.
I don't even know how much that I want Dave Strusch to play a few games in Monday Nooner, because as a young Saskatoon kid, and he played, I think it was like just turned 16 with the Blades, and Strouche was a weapon. And, you know, he had quite the career. You know, we got Brad Haroff out there, fantastic hockey player, and we have a lot of guys out there. But, you know, the Monday Nooner and some of the talent now is unreal.
Well, Strucher's he's a silent dude, but there might not be someone that enjoys the Nooner more than Strucher. I think if the knees would hold up, I think Strucher would love to come out for a buzz. He enjoys seeing the fellas come off.
He loves it. He loves just seeing us. He comes into the room and just says, hey, boys, you know, like he loves it. And we got such a good crew as a third liner kind of guy out on that skate. I love it because I got to absolutely try my hardest to keep up with Bernhardt and Reach and Albie and those boys.
Our chief morale officer, Brad Haroff.
Yeah. No, it's a beauty skate. It's awesome.
Ricky Vaughn, Dustin Malakin.
Oh, wow. What,
yeah. And then fantastic with fella. Tay, Josh Miller. And
So these people, so we got this Twitter account and you know, it's buzzing, so to speak. And we do some things on there and people really like it and the follow. So it's like, well, let's just go and do a podcast because right now we have a lot of time on our hands. Why not throw our hat in the ring? So what you're going to get on the Monday Nooner podcast for all these people that are tuning in and they're like, oh my God, these pigeons, what are they doing? So we're going to keep it really Sask focused, Saskatchewan focused for the most part. We're going to talk a lot of local hockey, hopefully senior, even the minor hockey and what the heck they're doing and provincial. And we got Houseman and Miller from Sask Hockey that are members of the Monday Nooner. So we're going to try and keep it Sask based. We're going to take a few jabs, obviously, at the local pigeons that play with the Monday Nooner and in the rec leagues too, because we got a lot of guys that overlap, and interviews with some total beauties. And our first interview is with Kelly Taylor from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. How good is that coming out of the gate? And this interview is awesome.
You know,
you got to stay tuned.
He, like, his interview that you're going to hear in a bit is like exactly what we want to do. It's like
real good 2 a.m. garage beer conversations.
Exactly.
That's exactly it, Kinner. You're like nail on the head right there. So in today's podcast, we're going to talk a little bit of Pats and the hype with Bedard coming in. We're going to give a plug to some of our first responders out there, first responders of the week, sponsored. Monday Nooner player profile interview with Kelly Taylor, like we talked about. We're going to chat about some gambling because we're big degens here. We like to gamble, especially Boz. He's always buzzing on the phone, figuring out where he can put some loot down. Some local golf course talk, and of course, Country Thunder. Big for all three of us and a lot of people. We love the Country Thunder lineup. We hope it's going to come this year. And our official band of the Monday Nooner.
Yeah, the Fran Moran and the Nervous Rex band, beauties from down in Nashville. All the music you're going to hear the next little bit on the Monday Nooner podcast is courtesy of them. It's awesome to have them as the official band of the Monday Nooner podcast. And hopefully we see them at a festival soon, barring everything going on.
And friends of the podcast and of us, and Big Kenny from Big and Rich, he's been following us for a while. He loves it. And Troy Volhoffer, hopefully we can have Volhoffer come on as a guest at some point. Troy is an absolute beauty in what he does for the province and the area with Country Thunder. So they're big friends of ours and fans. And yeah, so Country Thunder talk coming up later.
Yeah, so right now I just, you know, there's a lot of guys listening who know a little about Monday Nooner, some that don't know anything about Monday Nooner, but I thought maybe we could tell a couple stories about the league. And we've been playing again for a couple years. I think this was our second year back at it.
I don't know, Kinner, how many years have you been doing this?
She's two. Year
that
two.
Was two full. So the first year, we had a great time.
Back to
this
backs.
Year, Kurt Wickenheiser, 800 pro games. Oh. Have you heard of him? Yeah, so this year he came out, and he's a beauty. I've seen him at Country Thunder for years. He's good buddies with Volhoffer, and he's a great guy, right? So he comes out this year. He joins our team, Team Black, and he's buzzing around, trying all these between-the-legs dangles. And
first game.
He was a little bit rusty to start, right? Like, let's be honest, Wick. He wasn't lighting it up early, but I think it was his first game. he's doing something in front of the net, and you guys can jump in if you want.
It was his first game.
Yeah. So I think
he'll tell you that he was tripped, but
yeah, they'll tell you he's tripped. He somehow hits a banana peel in front of the net. He runs into the post, like smokes the post. I think Fleming might have been in that net, might have been Spoons, I'm not sure. But like smokes the post. He comes back to the rib or to the bench. He's having trouble breathing and he's like, "My ribs," like he's hurting. And I think we all said, like, okay, we're never going to see this guy again. 800 pro games, but like, it's been a while, Wick, right? Like, we thought, nice to see you. It was a good run. See you later.
And Monday Nooner moves at a different pace than a guy would think that a Monday Nooner skate would move at. And I think he was a little taken aback.
So how long, boys? My memory is the shits, to be honest with you in general. But how long till he came back out? He came into the room.
I think at least 8 weeks.
Kinner, tell the Country Thunder Christmas party story.
Why wouldn't the guy?
Was that when he was wearing the couch as his suit from the 1980s?
He was wearing the Chesterfield.
No, he was buzzing there. He had a lady with him.
Why wouldn't the guy?
And he said he crashed into the net. Did he break his ribs, Boz?
He thought he broke his ribs.
And then the
he
next
day. He said he broke a three or four. He said shoveling snow.
Who knows what he said?
He blamed it on shoveling snow.
The moral of the story is, we thought we'd never see him again, right?
Never, ever.
And then it's about 6-8 weeks later. Like, we play at noon, so most of the guys get there like 11:45, 11:50. Like, 8 weeks later, he's there at like 11:15. Boys, we're good to go. Why wouldn't a guy? Let's suit up.
Why wouldn't a guy?
Pre-game calisthenics.
If there was a bike out front of the locker room, he would have been riding that thing. He comes nice and early. He treats it like a pro game.
Absolutely. 800 of them.
800.
Hey, let's go to our first feature. We're going to have a bunch of features throughout the podcast. I know, Shink, you want to talk a little bit about our player profile, and we're going to kick it off with a beauty as well.
Absolutely. A Monday Nooner player profile brought to you by Cathedral Electric owner Dave Spooner. He can have his crew out to you for any of your electrical needs around the house, maybe the cabin. Cathedral Electric. You can find them on Facebook, or if you know Spoons or someone that knows Spoons, give Spoons a text. And he'll hook you up. And I got, you know what's funny? Sean Fleming just bought this sweet pad that we're going to have our Monday Nooner wind-up party at. Of course, Cathedral Electric went in, did a bunch of electrical work for him. Beauty. So, player profile this week, Monday Nooner, Team White Dangler, literally, owner of 22 Fresh in Regina, finished fourth on the team in scoring this year, split time between Team White and Regina United. But he's a great follow on Twitter, Kipper Simon, at Kipper Simon. Of course, he's a big TikTok guy.
He's got good dance moves.
Big TikTok guy. Not sure if he vapes or not. Good guy all around. Likes the pants nice and tight at the bottom. And hey, Kipper, why don't you get the tarps for the fellas? But our first player profile is Kip Simon from Team White.
Right-handed pitcher, 6'1", 215 at the University of Evansville.
Why wouldn't a guy?
Good hockey player, too. He is. 22 Fresh, like, honestly, half my wardrobe nowadays is 22 Fresh.
It's nice gear, and we just need some tarps for the fellas, right, you know, Kinner? Kinner, come on.
Absolutely, and the rumor has it that a couple guys on the team say that the sweats are great for flicking it up into the waistband.
That's all-timer.
And it feels good.
You know what, Kipper, we need, you know what I'm looking for? A Monday Nooner shirt at Monday Nooner with a digital clock, you know, like the old school digital clock like they have in the dressing rooms at the brand that just has 12 o'clock at Monday Nooner. That's all we need, Kipper. And how about a little promo code for the podcast once we get buzzing here? All Monday Nooner listeners, like 10 or 15% off.
Hey guys, Mike Sillinger here. President, GM, head coach, captain, and champion of Team White. You are listening to the Monday Nooner podcast. In the rafters, Huey. Suck it.
It's coming over the line. Hempy across to Wempy. Shot scores, and it looks like Kelly Taylor didn't even move on that. He possibly didn't see it. Here comes Marlow for the Legionnaires out of his own zone to the red line. Dumps it in, and that goes in on Taylor right under the blocker. Taylor skating to the bench. Of course, he's getting the hook again. And in other news today, three PA men were charged with disorderly conduct after an incident at JT's last night. One, Kelly Taylor, was also charged with mischief for running around the street naked.
This guy turned into a Saskatchewan legend pretty quick. Our first ever interview, and we kind of went through a few guys who we wanted to interview. And this guy was at the top of the list, and he said, I'm in. He's from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. A goalie once listed by the Regina Pats, although he didn't make the team, but I hear back then they were pretty deep in goal, so that's partially the reason. Played some of the top comedy clubs in North America. Been a lot down here in the Regina area. People rave about him. Been in a couple movies. Fantastic follow on social media. We follow him on Tick Taylor, at Tick Taylor on Twitter. And led by their goalie, number one, here are your 92-93 PA bus line Mentos.
what an intro. I like it. Usually,
hold on. Hold Chikai. Were you a bus line Mentos guy, or were you like the A&W Bears and the Taco Time Devils, or what were you?
I went first 2 years Pee Wee. That was Pee Wee Taco Time Devils, and then we moved in, and Bantam was Mentos. So my first year, they had like a major minor, and the major team was the Mentos. So I played 1 year Mentos, and then it switched to a draft, and there was Mentos and Pirates. I went to Pirates, and then when you got the midget, like, they're called the Mentos now. It was just, we were called the Midget Raiders.
And I remember, like, Bantam, that the bus line Mentos, they all had matching gear, iTechs.
Yeah.
And then Swift Current, where Kinner's from, those pigeons down there, also same thing, matching shells or pants and iTechs and helmets. And we're all like, we're rolling in Saskatoon, Westside Barrens here, and we're going up to play you. And it's like, what's going on?
We had to hide our, I don't know what, someone must have got a deal once, and they had to hide all our gear because nothing matched. So I think it was the other way for PA. We were so junky, they just had to cover it up with stuff. Otherwise, there'd been XL7s flying out there. Instead, it was all yellow Cooper all helmets. Yeah, I remember that. Looked good.
I remember those days a lot. Now, question, give us the hockey career rundown, because I want to hear, you know, you played some AAA midget. We played against each other, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I got to look at that Ice Mania sweater. And then you're listed by the Pats. And where does it go from there? Go back.
Oh, yeah, let's start it. Let's do it. Pee Wee AA, let's grab that provincial title right off the hop. We made a team. We weren't even allowed in center four. We put in some traveling team. And we just dominated teams 56-4 and grabbed provincials that year. And then next year was Bantam, and that's when we had a major minor. So I was the bus line Mentos, but we were garbage as a, because we had this one good year was the 78s, but the 77s didn't have as many guys. So it was mainly all rookies and then a few second years, and we were garbage. And then the next year went to a draft, and that was that good year, and we split up and still won provincials with that split team. And then I actually got listed with the Portland Winterhawks first and went down to camp with my buddy Joey Tedarenko. Very first shot of camp, no lie, dumping 5 feet side of the net, went to stop with my blocker set for a D-man, zoomed it right back in my net, man. Terrible. I think they dropped me after camp. I think they might have just got me to come down there with Tedarenko. So then, and then went back and had that great Bantam year. We won provincial. So then I got listed with the Pats. And man, does it go down? It thinks it's on its way, and then everything falls apart so fast.
You go to Pats camp. Tell us about the broken stick story. Is that legit?
Yeah, that's legit. So the Pats had they had Mike Walker and Chad Mercier, and I think they were going to get rid of them. They're both older, and they were going to get rid of one guy. So I'm 16, and man, like 16 in my head, like 16. If you make the dub at 16, like that almost like if you go back to that kind of time frame, you're thinking like, man, you're on your way. Like, you get drafted to the NHL, you just have a good season. So, does it crash fast? So, I've got even that in my head. And no training during the summer. I always started every season off terrible. And then, you know, you get your, like, I mean, like, wouldn't even sharpen my skates, just kind of come to camp. And then you get kind of get rolling, you get a feel for it, and it all go. But I guess I should have got on the ice or did something. Went to camp. Wasn't having the greatest camp, and I broke my stick in camp. So when I broke my stick, I was like, oh, man. Like I'm and Norm Johnson had called the house. He's like, this is what's going to happen. We're going to get you here. We're going to go through exhibition, and then we're going to see how good exhibition is, and we'll see what we're going to do with you. So I was like, okay, man, I'm going to play exhibition. They might trade away one of their guys here. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. So I broke my stick during camp, and I was like, okay, I got inter-squad game. You only play one period. There's six goalies. So I'm playing the first period. I was like, oh, I can get through this. I can get through a period of hockey with this kind of broken stick. Broke it a little bit more. So it's like it's just flapping there. Let in five goals in the first period of inter-squad. Just the last one I went to play the puck. I'm like up by the hash marks. He just whiffs it and goes to like Rhett Gordon. He comes in from the blue line wide open. Five goals on 12 shots. Norm Johnson walked into the dressing room, and then everyone was talking, and it kind of went quiet. And I was like around this wall. I was like, oh, here it comes. And he looks at me, he's like, oh, my God. He goes, people think they're going to come spend money on the Pats tickets, and they see horse shit like you. I might as well stay home and drink beer.
And now you're thinking, how fast am I going home, and is Robbie Boysen having a party tonight?
that's funny, man. That goes through your head so fast. It's like, oh, cut. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to get home, because it's right, you know, hockey caps at the beginning of the school year. Yeah. I remember billeting, like, looking out the window. Ed and Doreen, I'm billeting in Regina, looking out the window, and there's, like, a house party going on first week of school, and I remember just sitting there like, oh, I miss that so much. Yeah, and then came back, and then he's like, you know, come, he goes, go have a good year at AAA. He goes, play great, and we'll see what happens. I went back to AAA, and Bobby Schrader, my other goalie, just played good, and I never even fucking got on the ice. It was brutal. And I was like, man, it got to the point like we're in playoffs, and then like we just got into playoffs, so we had to like win out. So Schrader plays like the last four games, and then we get into playoffs. Like, man, I'm talking midget. You usually switch, give the backup goalie a 1 out of 3, 1 out of 4. He was playing like 8 in a row.
What's Bobby Schrader doing on Mondays at noon these days?
Oh.
We Looking need a goalie once in a while.
Oh, that guy's got a smashed up foot. He fell off a roof and his foot's all. I was like, and as soon as it happened, no one, like, any sympathy. Buddy's foot's done, can't ref for life. And I was like, fuck, man, why couldn't that have happened in midget?
So what about you? Like, we just said we're looking for a goalie every once in a while. What's your availability? Do you still strap the pads on? Or
strap them on in Beachy this year? Beyond terrible. I don't even shuffle. Like, I got in, it's like my skates were so sharp. It's like I'm a road hockey goalie. I stand there, and then I actually just lay down. Like, I don't even get any momentum. And then couldn't move for, like, 2 days after. Never. Done. Zero desire. And I used to think there's no way I'll ever lose the love of wanting to play. And now it's like, the thought of people calling me and they're like, oh, no, man, I won't even be able to move for 2 days.
I had this question down on the list, but now we might as well tackle it. Are you watching any of the old reruns that are on right now? And because my son and I watch it, right, and he's just turning 9, and he's like, Dad, the goalies aren't very good. They don't go down. Oh. And I'm like, yeah, like Mike Vernon's letting in shots, you know, blue line on the ice. Like, are you watching any of that?
Oh, yeah. My boy says the same thing. He's like, he goes, Dad, look, he goes, they don't even skate. And then it's Gretzky, too. So Gretzky's out there. Like, oh, it's the best player ever, guys. And he's like, look how slow he is. I can't even make him to sit there and watch, like, 5 minutes. Oh, you should have seen. I found that the VHS tape of that Taco Time team. So my boy's in grade 8. And I was like, here you go, bud. And I put it in like it's going to be great. You ever do that with like a movie you think is awesome and it just doesn't stand the test of time? I put it in. I was like, here we go, bud. Greatest Pee Wee AA team ever. I go, 56-4. Put it in. He's like, look, he called us Dusty Benders. He goes, look at you guys. You're brutal.
Dusty Benders, my kid and his friends, the Tom Chuck boy. And that's their line all the time. And then my kids, and he'll go, Roman will go, that guy's not wearing a helmet, like, and he's been out there for a while. I'm like, that's how it was back
then. That's Greg McTavish, buddy. He's good on the PK. He will later on kill someone drinking and driving, but that's Greg McTavish.
So you talked about the team you played on, PWAA. Talk a little bit, I guess, maybe you mentioned a few of the teams, but looking back, like, just shout out some guys maybe you played with or some of the best teams or best players you played with growing up.
As a goalie, too, when I was on the ice, there was always, especially when I hit, like, first-year Pee-wee and you hit, like, AA, I remember being on the ice and I was so nervous that it felt like for that whole year, like, I remember just waiting for their best players to get off the ice. Like, get this guy off the ice, get this guy off the ice, get this guy off the ice. But then when we had that dynamite team, I was like, get that real good guy out here. I'm barely getting any shots. But some of the best, I remember guys that stood out, like, that crazily stood out, Chad Hintz. Do you remember Chad Hintz? He's a 79, though.
Yeah, he's from, I want to say Leask, but I don't think it is. And that's, when I texted you earlier today, Tails, he's in part of one of the stories, but keep on going.
Yeah, so there was Hintz. This one, and I didn't even actually, because we didn't play him that much not as much, because I remember, who are some of the Saskatoon guys that were?
78s. Oh, I'm a 77.
I remember hating big, in Regina, they had, or was it, Jeremy Rondeau play in Regina?
Yeah,
the nemesis was actually more Regina. They had, what the hell's his name? Mike Ely. He was a Saskatoon contact.
Yeah, so I played with Ely, Hintz, Sarich, Breach, Bueller. Bueller's from Osler.
Yeah,
you zip through there a few times, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, Bueller, Aaron Miller, and there's another goalie. We were the Sas first four, and all of them, like, there you go, right to major, junior, and then draft to NHL. And my second year, midget. Let's get to that. I didn't even make AAA. I walked. I got cut after one skate. So from 16, thinking I'm getting to make the dub, going to the NHL next year, I'm fighting to play some midget AA. Oh
blades,
my god,
blades were too sharp. Couldn't go back.
I remember coming in. We were at the Communiplex, and our coach said, I think he was the only guy in Bantam that was in midget AAA. He's like, okay, there's a guy, this kid Bantam, Patrick Marlowe. He's real fast. Watch him down the wing. And I was like, okay. And then I didn't even realize it, and he had a hat trick on me in the first period. were you contacts, or you were contacts?
Contacts,
right?
Yeah. Big C exhibition stadium, baby.
Yeah, we came back on you guys. You guys had us up. You were up by two in a game in your old barn, and we scored three with like a minute 30. I was on the bench. I obviously wasn't playing, but we had one comeback game against you guys. Do you remember that game?
Yeah, and the bench was up to your, like, neck because the boards are about 8 feet high and they're all warped. And then Ice Mania, we made a run in Ice Mania and we weren't supposed to win. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, we're staying overnight. And, like, we're literally in our track suits. No toothbrush, no gotch, no... We got Discmans and our jumpsuits. And that's about it. And then Fleming's like, we're staying the night at the old Imperial 400 or whatever it was.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we couldn't even go water sliding unless we wanted to go in our gotch. And I think we lost the next in the semifinal. But, yeah, that was a great tournament.
Oh, fastest skater, Scott Murkowski. I remember that from Ice Mania. I don't know why I remember that part, but I do.
And the sweaters. How about the sweaters?
Oh, I still got a sweater. I actually have a picture of me in my sweater with bleach blonde hair.
And I'm going to send you, when I get to my mom's in Saskatoon, I have it in the basement. I'm going to send you a nice snapshot of that bad boy.
Oh, I know exactly. Does it have like old Samity Sam kind of in
yep.
the, is he on the front of it?
Yep.
And then all the teams and the names in the back, right?
Yep. And the Seattle Snow Kings. I remember we played them and I jacked for three goals. I got the MVP little plaque. I was like West Side stud.
They were just terrible. Weren't they getting lit up by like 20 goals?
No, they actually
was it a good one?
They surprised. I think the California team that came stunk.
Oh, okay, that's it. Yes.
Okay, I think we've covered your guys' illustrious hockey careers enough for now.
Barnes just
pumping his own tires here and play senior hockey and grab three league championships. Fall in love with the game again. Unreal.
who played on that team? Stan Mann.
Stan Friesen?
Stan Friesen, absolutely. Played with him a couple times in Dinsmore.
Oh, what a legend. The guy, I thought he was 100 when I went there. And I've seen him lately. He looks the exact same. But he one of my favorite guys, all time, one of my favorite people. Stan Friesen, Cal Fondelet,
yep.
And then there was Rob Lenz. They would come from Saskatoon. I came from PA. It was nails. So, and I had no one left in PA. Everyone's gone playing hockey. You play Friday, and every single team is on the way to Saskatoon. You hit Shelbrook was in the league. It was like Beardies, Haig, Martinsville, Laird, Waldime, and you'd play a Friday game, few beers, straight to the bar, party Friday, Saturday in Stoon, Sunday come back to PA and hit a game on the way home. Oh, loved it.
You know, Stan Mann is that older man, that shirtless, and he looks like he can chop wood, like he's just ripped.
Oh, got the guy's a beast. He had the biggest tank. We used to go into barns with like seven guys, but if we had the right seven guys, we'd come out winning. I remember loving just sitting in the dressing room having beers after just leaking sweat. Like, how the hell did we pull that game out? You're playing in Waka. They've got 17 guys on the bench.
Your hockey career kind of goes to shit.
Oh, really?
Your words, not mine. So at what point during this journey you took us through does comedy start to creep in? Is it when hockey went south? Was it always kind of there?
I was always the funny guy on the team, but I was always got to be the starter. And then when that midget AAA year hit, I remember I loved hockey so much. I loved going to practice. Like, I loved practicing just because I would get action. But I remember I never wanted to be a guy to hate the other goalie. Like, me and the other goalie are best friends too. So I was like, I remember watching. I was like, fuck, man, he's playing way better than me. I just knew he was better than me. And I wanted our team to win. So I remember just always being a good time in the dressing room and that. But just, my dad's a funny guy. My brothers are always funny. I was just always that kind of guy. So I was like, I always remember seeing stand-up thinking, man, I'd like to do that. That'd be fun.
And then where did you finally say, you know what, I'm going to give this a rip?
So it would have really started in Saskatoon, but the actual first time I ever did stand-up, and this is ridiculous. And there's going to be, I know no comic in the history of the world that started like this. So I'm in PA, and I think I'm like 20 when I do my first set. And so what you would do if you want to do stand-up is you would do an open mic at a comedy club, and they usually give you about 3 to 5 minutes. And the crowd, they usually warn the crowd, like, hey, be nice, do this, and this is his first time or your first time. And it's almost like that for a year of doing these 3 to 5 minute sets, and you build up material. Then maybe after a couple of years, you can MC it and you get to a middle. And I know guys have been doing it 10, 15 years. And they don't get the headline or anything. But my very first set, my mom comes up. And I told her I wanted to be a comic, but I have no idea how you get into it. Like, I'm just an idiot. And she's like, hey, our bank wants to have a comedian at the Christmas party. Which, now that I know, it's called a corporate. And a lot of comics can't even do corporates right now because they've got to be clean and politically correct. I'm 20, and I was like, what? And I was like, right then I knew that sounded bad. I was like, a bunch of old people from a bank. But I was like, in my head, I was like, well, no one else is asking me to do gigs. And I was like, oh, does it pay anything? She's like, oh, I think I can get you $100 if you can do an hour, which you look at it, that's just terrible money. But I was like, okay, yeah, no one else doing it. So the very first set I ever did wasn't 3 to 5. I did an hour for the CIBC Christmas party.
Wow.
I think I just got really drunk. Well, I remember having a pretty good buzz and then just telling stories. And the weird thing is it went all right, I think. But the real journey would have started in Saskatoon in university. There was just bars that had comedy every night. So Sask was such an awesome place to start comedy because you could get on every night. And then each night had their own regulars. Like Monday had the same kind of crew of people there. So you'd write a new set for that week and then you'd write another set for the next week. So kind of built up material really fast.
I got a question for you here. It says you spent some time in LA and had meetings with Sellers Happy Madison company. Would you be able to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. That was, so I got my, it would have really stemmed from getting Just for Laughs in, I don't know, it was pretty early on, maybe two, three years into stand up. I got Just for Laughs in Montreal. So then I went to Montreal and I had this one bit, this fish bit that I remember always just, that you live and die by this one joke because you're not into it that long, and it would always do good. And I was like, and it was so physical. And I remember getting like, so I got my Just for Laughs. And then when I did my Just for Laughs, you do your first one, you're in a competition, and then I play second in that. And then you got all these other shows, and you get like best of the fest. And then I ended up getting like, I'm in the best of the fest at Just for Laughs. Like, I'm on Harlan Williams, got another show. He's like, hey, man, can I jump on before you? He's like, I'm just in awe. Like, it's all these huge comics. I've only been in Sask. I've been to Calgary a couple times slinging jokes. That's it. Just in awe. But I had a great, great festival. And we had, this is number one regret, we had the Kimmel guy followed us around and loved it. Like, he's like, okay, we're just going to get you tape. And we'll send that to Jimmy. Jimmy will love your style. He'll love it. And then we had, I remember Adrian Culp was the Happy Madison guy. He loved it. And then, so like, oh my God. So I went to New York right after Montreal, and I tried to record that same set, but it felt like it was forced. Like, he wanted that same fish bit. And I remember the crowd was weird this one night, and I was like, I would never force that joke. And I forced it. We recorded it. I hated it. And then did another New York room, and the stage wasn't quite right, and it was a physical bit, and I hated it. So I just sat on it, and I never sent Kimmel material, like that tape. So we had Kimmel like locked in, and I never sent it. At that point, like, I was only a couple of years into stand-up. I was like, man, that opportunity never comes by. No, a Canadian had never even done Kimmel. I think there's maybe like two that I have since then. I was like, oh my God, looking back, that's a huge regret. But then a few years after that, I went down to L.A. They were actually friends with Steve Kotlowitz, he's an NHL agent, but he used to be in Hollywood doing stuff in the movies. So he kind of take me around to places. And I had a meeting with the biggest management company in the world, like in Hollywood, L.A., is Brillstein & Gray, like the number one company there is. And we went in. This is how stupid I am. There's like four guys when I walk in. I sit down with Kotlowitz. And these four guys kind of come, and they just kind of sit on the edge of the table, and they look at you, and they kind of, like, dissect you, like, okay, so what are we going to do here? Yeah, okay. So, like, what's your goal? What do you want? Like, and I looked, I was like, what the fuck? What do I want? Like, if you get up anything, I was like, what? Holy shit. And I was like, right away, I was like, oh, let's see. I go, Saturday Night Live. Because, like, I love Saturday Night Live. Like, loved it. Always. Yeah. It was Hockey Night Canada and Saturday Night Live. Always loved it. Then they look at me like, oh, so you do a lot of impressions. You do a lot of characters. And I was like, no, I don't do any. And then they looked at each other like, what the fuck do you think Saturday Night Live is, man? And I was like, oh, yeah, I never thought of it like that. I just thought Will Ferrell was funny and Farley was funny.
Yeah, just a fan.
Yeah. So they said, okay, well, they're like, okay, whatever. From there, the interview went real good. And then they came out to the Improv that night, and I did a set of the Improv, and then I signed up with Brillstein and Gray, and it was all going good. And then I came back to Canada for a bit, then I went back down for like, they have like a pilot season, and I sent this one, and this would never happen. My manager said, it goes, it's very rare that they have this off time that they would ever throw in a disc and actually watch it, because all their guys they would see live, and then they'd want to see them again. But he goes, someone must have been bored somewhere, and they threw in this DVD he'd sent me, because I'm still up in PA. He's like, here's an audition for this Eddie Murphy movie. And I was like, holy shit, Eddie Murphy, that'd be unreal. So I'd have to do this audition, and we just film it just terrible in the basement of my house, right? A flashback of me, this character. And my manager calls me, he's like, hey, man. He goes, I don't know, the lady loves you. And I was like, what? He's like, okay. So now I'm back, coming down back to L.A., and I'm on set. So the movie, it was originally called Starship Dave, but it came out as Meet Dave. And I think it ended up being like just one of those terrible, terrible Eddie Murphy movies. But still, man, like to be in a movie with Eddie Murphy, and it wasn't even a small role. There was Eddie Murphy's a star, and then there was three supporting roles. And the other one was Kevin Hart, like before he explodes, Ed Helms before he explodes from The Office and Hangover. And then I was the other guy. So I do the audition. Finish the audition, then I get this other call like, hey, there's a sitcom read tomorrow. So I was like, oh my God, I'm getting out of the Improv. I might have this Eddie Murphy movie. I've got this sitcom read. And then I get a call in the morning. I was like, from my manager. I was like, oh, how'd it go? He goes, you know what? The actual director sat in on the last casting call that I went in. He goes, you know what? He said you sound overboard, stupid Canadian. So it's almost like my hockey career. It went from like, oh my God, I'm going to be in the movie. And then when I was there, since I just signed with Brillstein and Gray, it was really easy to get on. I could get on stage in LA. I was getting out of the Improv and that, and it was, and then the next one was, when I'm reading for this script, it's like, oh my God, it's got like a tall, lanky, nerdy guy. And I'm like looking at that. I was like, that's not even what I. Oof, I'm gonna have to like go on a massive diet here. And then before I even left, I get a call again. They're like, hey, they got your headshot. That they actually don't even want you to come in.
Oh.
So it went from maybe this movie, we've got this sitcom read, getting on to then not even be able to get on stage.
I'm picturing you at the Bill Screen Gray interview in your like long cargo shorts and backwards hat, possible dip in of because you're loving the States chew for $3 a tin. But okay, so we're going to what you're doing. And I know the guys here, the Regina, I think it's the Raiders, the young the kids, and Holty and Haji and Tyler Dutka, their team brought you in a while ago and you killed it. So do you have any chirps for the Regina guys or anything for the Regina guys where you can say, you know, chirp some of those weapons here?
Oh God, that Regina crew is such a great crew. I love, there's certain areas, I don't know why, that I just always have a great time. And it's almost like it's the good blue collar towns. Regina's got a crew, like you get Holty, Sillinger, Tater, and all those guys. That's the one area, that's like one of the cities that I come in and I just can walk into, like, say Holty's having a house party, walk in there and it's just like bang on. You're with a bunch of buddies, just a bunch of beauties. I usually make fun of Holty's furnace face. Guy's always got a red face, holding
Todd,
his breath.
Todd Riplinger. He's yeah. he's one of the founders of the old Monday Nooner game, actually.
Oh.
Any memories at all from doing any shows in Wilkie, Saskatchewan? That's actually my hometown. I think you've been there a couple times, but I've never been home to see you there.
I did a show in Wilkie. Oh,
yeah,
in Wilkie.
The Outlaws.
Wilcox. I was like, I never fucking performed in Wilcox.
Yeah, obviously it wasn't very memorable, so we'll just move on.
No, yeah. And then Wilkie, I always get Wilkie mixed up with, what's the other one that starts with a D?
Delisle?
No, what the hell? Why do I get... Yeah, the Outlaws. Oh, yeah. Who's the guy they have? They got a guy on their senior hockey team that does stand-up before... I went there twice for their team, and he's just a really funny guy, and he goes on stage.
Mike Sittler.
And he's hilarious. And he's unreal. Yeah. And he goes long. Like, you know, usually people do it in 5 minutes or something, and that seems like forever. But he sits in the pocket for 20 minutes and is... funny.
No,
I was
like no,
I don't even
want
to follow that because he knows all the inside jokes too. He was so good.
That's funny.
No, we're gonna go. I gotta talk about, and I think Kinner maybe might have wanted to touch on this, but Prince Albert Raiders are up in PA this year. The Raiders were absolutely a wagon. They were gonna do some things, and then obviously the virus hits. Are you a big PA Raiders fan? And what did you think about how things are going this year?
Oh, like. It was, you know what, this year I was gigging nonstop, so I only got to see, man, I want to say maybe three games, and they were good. But that last year, that team was bananas. That team, it seemed like teams would get it out of their zone, and the Raiders would just circle back and attack. There was at one point in the season, they were plus 14 on the penalty kill. Plus 14 on a penalty kill. That's ridiculous.
Wow.
That was one of the most offensive teams. It was just nuts. And like I said, I love watching junior hockey. I love college hockey. That Raider run, because I miss a lot of games, I'm on the road, it worked out so perfect. I saw, what was the one game? It was unbelievable. Then I got to be at the game 7 when they won it all in that overtime game, and I had my my boys with me too. It was just like, oh my God, like there was good chance I could be gigging, and I didn't gig, and it was just the best. And like all the tickets were gone too, like everyone, people were camping out, man. It started, so PA so
no
old school,
only.
Things don't go online, hey, you gotta line up. So people were lining up, so it first started at 9 a.m, so people were getting there at 8 a.m, and then it went from that to 5 a.m, and then by the last round, people were full-blown tents and barbecuing outside. And it's an old barn, so it's like, that's not helping. That's not happening anywhere else, man. There's no rink that is that small. People are on you. Like and now the fire safety laws in, because everyone bring in milk crates. So it'd be like 3 or 4 deep in the walking line. You couldn't even move in there. It's nuts.
Is that what you were touching on, Kinner, is the milk crates?
Yes. Well, Mike Siddons up there was saying that they couldn't do too much. They're just... all you could really do is get more milk crates so that people could see. At that point, when you know you're going to hang one, you might as well fill the building. And it was the atmosphere, I heard, was just absolutely bananas.
It was the best. Like, I've seen, I'd rather watch something. It's almost like stand up. Like stand up. If it's in a small, tight, cool venue where people are shoulder to shoulder, because laughing is contagious like that. So you feel the energy. Like the best club in Canada was this tiny club in Montreal called the Comedy Works, and it literally sat 90 people. But man, you get there, you're just for laughs. They're on top of each other, sitting on each other's laps, and they are like their feet are on the stage, and you tell a laugh, and it's like, boom! And you're like, holy shit, is this a good time?
You lost me at clubs in Montreal.
Yeah. Molson, no doubt the wrong clubs that no one else is going to, yeah.
Molson Exports, love it.
Oh, absolutely, right into the exports when I get there.
So you're a PA guy, and I think you said you were born in 78, so I wanted to ask you who your favorite Raider is of all time. I have maybe a guess based on who was there when you were a kid, but who's your favorite Raider ever?
Oh, favorite Raider ever. You know what? Funny one is, it's going to be, it was right in the era of all the fighting. I was too young for the Manson and the Kenny Baumgartner and all that. But there was an era where there's fights all the time. And Greg Harvey, he's a pen guard here now. Now I played rec hockey with him for 5 years. He was awesome to watch. Like, if the games are blowouts, he didn't get a lot of ice time. You wait to the end of the game, he'd fight every time. And he was having fun out there. But besides probably Harv, and now I know him, just one of the biggest beauties ever. I would always liked, I'm going to say Dean McCammon, probably. I was a Dean McCammon fan.
Nice salad, too.
He went to Swift, that's probably right? Just the blonde bomber so fast.
Yeah. So, speaking of the PA pen, I went to school in Bedford in Saskatoon, so I was telling these fellas earlier, grade 12, high school floor hockey league, and we had Rick Sobery in goal, who ended up Blazers, played I think Humboldt for a lot of years. We had a really good team, Jay Malinowski, and then I go to Mayfair Sports on 33rd with these green yellow pace setters, and I say, can you guys logo these up down the sides for me? Because remember how you put your team name down the side of the pace setters? And I still have them, and I'll bring them up to you if you want to wear them. They're tight. Like, they look like Lulus on us right now. Your wrench will look deadly.
Or it won't, depending on a guy's wrench. And it has that little pocket on the inside. You can put your quarters in it.
Exactly. Or the KFC coupons. So then they, on one side, they say Prince Albert. And on the other side, they say penitentiary.
Come on.
And my one teacher, Mr. Sawatsky, said, there's no way you're wearing those. And I'm like, why not? My dad works there. And he's like, you're not wearing those. And I wore them every single game against the teachers, now out of spite. So if you want to sport those at any time, let me know.
Oh, that's nailed. I have a jersey in my shop hanging up. A guy brought to me, and it's an old school Raider one. I was like, oh my God. I go, look at this thing. It's filthy. Where did you get that? He said, they play floor hockey at the pen. He goes, it was in the box. I grabbed it for you. But you know, you just throw on the bibs and that. He grabbed me an old one like that. I remember at pace setters, we could never afford Cooperalls when I was in like novice D and C. So I pretended I had Cooperalls, and I pulled on pace setters over my gear pretending.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. So we're winding down here, and I'm going to ask a few fire questions here.
Gotcha.
And I thought of one today, and I know you've, you know, hung out at JT's in PA. We would actually make road trips up there once in a while just to go have a couple and then back to Sask. We do a naked cable at the Rostern cable. Naked, and then we would go.
I love it.
And then we'd go into PA for a couple, and then back down. Okay, so here are some quick fire questions, and you know they don't have to be super quick. But you went to U of S in the late '90s. Favorite bar in Saskatoon?
Oh, Scuzz or Pat, depending on the night. Loved them both.
That, and those are the only, you never did a little night magic for the Cougars or Jacks late in the night?
I think Jacks a couple times for laughs, liked Lydia's for afternoon pints, like the Senator for pints, but for clubbing. Oh man, nothing beat a good scuzz or the Pat night, man.
The Pat was, and you know, it was all hockey guys. I got thrown out of there. So Al Blevins was running it. It was beauty. Rob Lazinski spinning tunes. It was really good. Okay, so favorite Saskatchewan rink to play in, not in PA.
Favorite Sask rink to play in. Holy shit! You know what? I'm gonna go to the glory days of senior Beardies on the res, Beardies Okamasis. Love playing in there, being in the dressing room, hearing the foot stomps up above and coming out. Loved it.
Favorite golf course in Saskatchewan, not Cook.
Oh, you know what? That's funny you say this right now. So I got a booking at Waskasoo Saturday. Love Waskasoo. And I've never played Nipawin. I've got a pass. So I still got to do Nipawin. Played Riverside once. Riverside was unbelievable. Waskasoo. Man, I haven't played Battleford either. You know, Sask got a lot of beauties. I'm going to Waskasoo. Every time I'm on Waskasoo, I love it. Battleford has that other, what's the other one that's out on the lake, too? I want to do Jackfish. Both of those.
Jackfish. Nice track.
Boz has played that.
Supposed to be real lush.
Okay, here's another one. So, you know how they do the hockey night in Canada scene setters all the time now, and they go through the dressing room, and guys got their headsets on, and they're listening to music. So if they're going through the dressing room, and Kelly Taylor's in the corner, he's got his headset on, what tune are you listening to?
Hell or High Water, William Elliott Whitmore.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Throwback. Okay, so then here's another one. You got a backyard party in PA, and you can have anybody come and play it. Who's playing it?
Fuck, man. I had a 50th for my wife. We had 155 people coming, but it got canceled because of COVID. Guy in PA, Timmy Tutant. Guy just gets on the guitar and loves it. So I want to give Timmy a shout-out. But if I'm getting anyone, holy shit. well, Gord Downey's gone, so I can't bring him. I'd like to have Wheat Kings here. Holyshit.com.
That's a good question. You're thinking now. You should have been in the Bards.
Yeah. AC/DC might be too rocking for the party, but God. I would like to have Gord Downey. Then I'm going to pick the Hip, even though I don't know what the rules are to this question. I'm taking him.
That's good. Okay, so last question. One sports cliche that you could get rid of that's overused and you hate?
Oh, get it in deep. If we just get in there and make some chances. But the one that's my favorite that should never be lost, and it's the best cliche there is, win or lose, we hit the booze.
That's like the small town Saskatchewan motto right
there. Oh, man, I would say it if we lost the Stanley Cup 2 minutes after the buzzer went.
So, yeah, Kelly, we appreciate, like, this has been awesome. You've been great. So if somebody wants to, get in touch with you, maybe it's to book an event, maybe it's a senior hockey fundraiser when we do get to play hockey again, how do they get in touch with you? How do they book you? How do they find you on social media?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, social media. I got brutal on Instagram, barely know how to run it, so you get a picture out of me about every 6 months. Twitter just feels like it's jokes, so I like Twitter, so I'm at Tick Taylor, which is TickTaylor. The Twitter, and then my website, kellytaylor.biz, whowhygit.ca or .com when you can go .biz. And that'll have my email on there, which is kelsite@yahoo. And, just you directly contact me, and hopefully I'm available. And then just like you guys, starting a podcast. Your guys on all platforms? Mine's on Spotify and Anchor, and it's Tick with a side of Tets.
You know, this is our first one. We're just launching on Anchor and Spotify, so same.
Yeah,
same.
I'm in the same boat as you guys then.
So do you have a MySpace and a High Five account?
I used to. I just started getting good on MySpace when Facebook came in. Then I started realizing what Facebook is, and Instagram came in. I'm always one generation behind whatever's happening on social media.
That's awesome. Okay, so you got to give us a follow at Monday Nooner on Twitter. And then if you are ever in Regina on a Monday, we expect you down at the Brandt Center, even to hang out.
Dud.
And we really appreciate this. You're our first guest. We thought, you know what, there's probably not a better guy to have, and we totally love that you came on.
All right on, guys. Thank you so much, and all the best with the podcast, and hopefully see you at the Monday Nooner that I'll spill over to a little bit of Leo's and then top it off at the old Cathedral Hall. Love those places.
Why wouldn't a guy?
Time for another sponsor. It's the Boz Pigeon Parlay of the Week. This is going to be real good when sports are back on, by the way. It's brought to you by Western Pizza South, Spiro Bonus, our huge friend. We love them. Western Pizza South. Oh,
I'd great order, sauce. Great
order,
sauce.
Order from there last Friday. Like, get out of here. So good. VLTs will be back soon. We can go and kind of hang out there, have a few pints. No one will know we're ever there. Do some business meetings. In the meantime, you can order from Western Pizza. Contactless delivery. Pickup available. Pretty soon they're going to be open. So, Boz, your parlay pigeon of the week. We're talking gambling now. What do you got?
You know, I love throwing money on shit. Like, you know, if always. I was at Western Pizza right now, I'd be hitting the wildlife waiting for the maps bonus. Like NHL playoffs, I'd be doing a 4-game puck line parlay.
Pigeon.
$5-$10. I call them pigeon parlays. Pick 3 or 4 teams, try and make 2 or 3 hundo, right? Like, I've had some nice runs. I've had some bad runs. Obviously, there's not a lot to gamble on right now. We got the Korean Baseball League.
Hey-o! With my team.
But with this podcast, and who knows when you're going to hear it, I didn't want to go down to, like, here's what's going on tonight. I did want to talk a little bit about golf, because we do know golf is going to be back. PGA Championship is going to be happening August 6th to 9th.
Fighting on the 13th.
And I just wanted to go to majors, because who knows who's going to be playing in these tournaments if and when they happen. So, boys, I'm just going to throw this out there. 3 outright winners. Right. Long shots.
Right.
We're going to go Sungjae Im.
Why wouldn't a guy?
Why wouldn't a guy?
Bad haircut, but good golfer. 40-1, throw a 5 or 10 spot on that. That's a unit for me.
Could play on the LPGA.
Mark Leishman, 50-1.
Why wouldn't a guy?
Why wouldn't a guy?
And you know, like, I feel like golf is all about being hot, but how do you know who's hot when they haven't golfed on TV for 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
So my final one, he's been terrible since his last little run to win some majors, but you got to love these juicy odds. 80-1, Francesco Molinari.
Well, like, that's actually good, y'all. Like, good odds right there.
I've been 2 months buzzing here trying to figure out who's a good pick. And those are the three. Write them down. M. Leishman, Molinari. Brought to you by Western Pizza. We'll be hammering the wildlife real soon, folks.
Kenner, do you...
Rumor has it Steve Marino's making a comeback after COVID. Love to see him and Ernie Els partnered up on day one.
Ashworth's nice, tight, long khakis up to like the boobs.
Let's keep things going here, boys, with our next feature on the pod.
That's right. You know what, buddy? So the first responders of the week, we all have our first responders, chiefs, councils, everyone working a good job out there. Brought to you by Holte's Carpet Cleaning. Need your carpets in the house, office, cabin, done. Bart Holt can clean them up. Bart's, you know what? He's been pretty fantastic and everything. And Bart, come give your wife a free estimate on getting your carpets cleaned, free Max Flies or beer koozie.
Wow.
With every cleaning. He's been doing it since 2012. This isn't a joke, folks. If you need your carpets cleaned in your house, you can call them 306 number 529-3588. But if you ask the person beside you, he probably or she probably knows Bart Holt.
Absolutely. So, first responder of the week brought to you by Holte's Carpet Cleaning. Who are we throwing it to this week?
That's right. So, our first responders of the week, the fellas, the firefighters out there dealing with a lot of crap right now. I can't even imagine their beauties. Bart Holt's a firefighter. Dave Lowe, Bart Holt, Chad Sinclair, Chad Lincoln. And I know Jeff Anderson's also a firefighter. Those guys, and hey, every week we're gonna do some police officers and some
paramedics.
First responders of the week, thank you very much, because we know you guys are dealing with a big bag of shit out there right now, and everything else that goes along with it. So thanks, boys. And of course, if you need your carpets clean, call Holte. And thanks to the fellas from the Royal. And you guys can't book fivesomes for a while.
All right, boys, we got some shout-outs we got to give. Of course, we've had some music on the pod today, our first podcast, and our official band of the Monday Nooner podcast, Fran Moran and the Nervous Rex. What's your guys' thoughts on them?
Out of Nashville, Tennessee, they're big fans, and I don't know how many fledgling podcasts have their own band, but they said, yeah, you guys go with it. They want to do a live show at some point down there. Obviously Nashville. Kinner, you've spent too many days in Nashville. probably buzzing to get back there?
Big time. Nashville's a great time. Great place to wet the whistle. When you think about Fran Moran, it just really reminds you of Craven and getting in with the fellas.
Well, Country Thunder, we're all crossing our fingers that it's going to happen this year. And all three of us frequent Country Thunder every year. Why wouldn't a guy, Wick, right?
Why wouldn't a guy?
This year's lineup, like, every year it seems it's the best. And, you know, last year Boz was foaming at the mouth because...
And then you got guys like Luke Combs, another friend of the old Monday Nooner, Tanya Tucker.
Official artist.
Tanya Tucker, big friends of Wick.
Hey, why wouldn't a guy?
But no, like, let's go now to that. If somehow that they pull this off and it happens, and Luke Combs comes, and that six feet apart song, yeah. Like how would that be?
How does that one go again?
How would that be in the valley?
It'd be unreal.
It'd be wet in the valley.
That's whiskey drinking right there.
Throw it over to Winona and the big noise.
And what about our favorites, big favorites, the Hunter Brothers, Thursday night. They're close to headlining. We've had this convo before. Boz, you and I have been there. I don't know if you remember it.
It's not really.
But those guys are something else to see live. And a Thursday night primer? Like, let's be honest.
The Hunter Brothers, just a bunch of good guys from the old White Mud Hockey League looking to potentially make the jump to the Monday Nooner.
Love it. Wouldn't it nice to have those guys out for a twirl? Like, sir, if even, you know, JJ or Luke could come out, and they're probably going to think they're going to come out and dominate. And then all of a sudden they see Bernhardt getting geared up and Albers, and then Reach rolls in late like he owns the place like he usually does. And then the Hunter Brothers and Spooner, Fleming, well, you know, we'll see what happens.
And if they're lucky, they might get to see Swags.
Awesome. Well, you know, I think we should kind of look at wrapping this up and maybe give a shout out to anybody listening. If you know somebody you think would be really good to have on the podcast, or you got a recommendation of who we should get.
We're probably not going to listen.
But let us know at Monday Nooner on Twitter. That's the only place to find us. So
that at Monday Nooner on Twitter, I got to give the guys that run that shout out because people talk about it all the time. At Monday Nooner on Twitter.
Yeah, let us know. We want to grow our podcast and grow our Twitter account. So I think we'll wrap up today's episode with that.
Kipper, get us some shirts.
We're going to send it off with Fran Moran and the Nervous Rex. We've got more music from them to end the podcast today, and we'll chat with you soon. Control and